One of my biggest goals in 2019 was to create a diverse community of creative people. I wanted to bring together models, makeup artists, stylists, and photographers, and create a place where they could work together to create amazing images. In 2020, I want to take that community to the next level. And I think the easiest way to do that is to openly share information that will help people grow and evolve. Now, I've never really kept a diary before. I've never really seen the point, if I'm honest. I know what it is that I get up to, and as a full-time professional working photographer, I literally have a visual record of what I've done. But when it comes to explaining to people what I actually do for a living, how I started a company and made a successful business and career out of being a professional working photographer, I've always struggled. You see, the day-to-day tasks, after a while, they become second nature. And starting the business happened so long ago that without really thinking about it, it's difficult to remember. It's hard to put into words, at least in a succinct way, what it is that I do. So I've started to keep a diary. Right now, it's more of a bullet point journal, a collection of thoughts that I'll hopefully be able to turn into podcast episodes that will help you learn from my experiences. That said, this first episode is a little bit different. Today, I wanted to take some time to introduce myself, to tell you a little bit more about me and my background, and hopefully encourage you to subscribe to this podcast and let me help you level up if I can. So without further delay, let's get into it. These are the diaries of a freelance photographer, and I'm Gareth Welch. Now, I haven't always been a freelance photographer. In fact, if you can name a crappy job, I've probably done it. I think my worst job was when I was 14 years old. It was a part-time job that my mom encouraged me to get to help me to understand the value of money, and my dad wanted me to get it so that I knew what it was like to put in an honest day's work. This job was far from honest. It was dipping Christmas turkeys into buckets of cold water before hanging them in the freezer of my local butcher's. Now that sounds a little bit odd, right? But traditionally, turkey's priced by weight, and turkey weighs a heck of a lot more when it's frozen wet. But more on my varied career history later. I did take away the two lessons that my parents hoped that I would. I loved the financial independence, at least as much independence as any 14-year-old boy can have. And I realised that that only came with hard work. When I left school, and that feels like an eternity ago now, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a living. I just knew that more education wasn't for me. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy school, just the thought of more education with no real goal in mind sounded like the seventh circle of hell to me. Although I think the education system is very outdated right now, I do still think it has a place for some people. I'm just not one of those people. I mean, what would be the point in wasting between 2 and 6 years and a whole pile of cash studying without really knowing what I wanted to do with that education? Sure, if you want to be a doctor, an architect, a solicitor, if you want a profession that requires a formal higher education, then go for it. But if you don't know what you want to do, or your chosen career doesn't need that formal education, why waste the time, effort, and money when you could be out making your aspirations a reality? My parents supported me. I was really lucky that I had what I now know to be very liberal, progressive parents, and they understood that being happy was the real measure of success. Anyway, I digress. Somebody told me once that if you don't know what you want to do for a living, take the crappiest job that you can find, because nothing's going to motivate you to find what you're really passionate about more than doing a job that you absolutely hate. I still think that that's really great advice, and it's exactly what I did. I left school and I got the first job that I could find. The job sounded awful. It was working as an assistant to a wedding photographer. No prizes if you guess the ending to this story. I'd be carrying his gear, cleaning lenses, changing rolls of film, basically being a general dog's body. I'd never shown any interest in photography growing up. They didn't teach it in my school, and nobody in my family had a creative bone in their body. My dad enjoyed gardening, but that was about it. I'd been on a few school trips and I'd taken the family point-and-shoot camera with me, but I always came back with the roll of film half exposed. At the time, I didn't even know what that meant. Week one on this job, and I fell in love with it. I was so lucky. I was 16 years old, I had no real qualifications, and I knew within days of starting my very first job exactly what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. The photographer I was working with took the time to show me the basics before we went out on a real job. I guess he figured that I'd be more helpful if I understood what I was doing, as well as understanding a little bit about his job. I was fascinated that by changing some settings on a camera, you could get a totally different look from your photo, and the precision required to get a photo at all absolutely amazed me. I love the science that went into mixing chemicals and the precision timing required to turn a roll of film into a series of printed images. But most of all, I loved the reaction from people when they saw their special moments immortalized in print. Although this happened much later in my career, I remember the first time that I presented a bride and groom with their wedding photos, photos that I'd shot. Silence was the first reaction. They held hands as they flipped through the pages of a wedding album. Then the groom put his arms around the bride while she continued to turn the pages. By the time they got to the end, tears were running down both of their faces. Before they even acknowledged me, they turned to each other, kissed, and hugged in silence. I remember this situation with such clarity, it could have happened yesterday. After a moment or two, they turned towards me and said, "Thank you so much, we love them." They must have said it 20 or 30 times before I left. And as I did leave, I left with one thought in my mind. The joy that they just felt was because of me. Sure, it was their special day, but I captured those moments that would last forever for them now. Getting to see a similar reaction with one of my new employer's clients so early in my time with him was a big reason why I fell so much in love with photography. Fast forward a year, and I was now a second shooter. Rather than carrying his gear at jobs, I was covering the groom while he shot the bride, or I'd shoot the candid images while he was shooting the formal ones. I'd still clean gear, I'd make sure the bags were packed before we went out on a job, but I'd taken on more duties because I was so keen to be an actual photographer and not just a photographer's assistant. Although I still had a lot to learn, I was starting to find my own style, and whilst my employer had been my main source of inspiration, I'd started to check out the work of other photographers and took inspiration from them too. Sadly, the day came that the photographer I was working for broke the news to me that he simply couldn't afford to pay me anymore because the industry was in decline. I thought it was a joke at first because we seemed busier than ever, but what I now know was that he was lowering his prices in order to stay competitive in what was becoming an oversaturated market. Anybody with a camera thought they were a photographer. He said I could stay on as an unpaid assistant if I wanted to, and the offer was seriously tempting. He knew how much I loved my job. I would often stay well past my finish time because he was doing something that I thought I could learn from. I was also starting to really learn my craft and genuinely loved getting up every morning to go to work. If things had been different, maybe I would have stayed on, but with no clear path back to a paid job and the prospect of bills starting to stack up, I had to make sure that I had an income. In the end, I made the right choice because that photography business closed its doors the next year. So, a little disheartened, I got a job in a factory unloading shipping containers full of rubber bike tyres, then in a sports shop as a retail assistant, and then in a call centre dispatching technicians to fix customers' cable TV faults. I never wavered from the idea of being a full-time photographer for a living, but the reality was that nobody was hiring junior photographers, and I was in no financial position to start a business of my own, in an industry that was in decline. So I knew I needed to take what I now call stepping stone jobs until I worked out how to get back to doing what it was that I loved. Working in the call centre was the first time that I felt like I was making progress. This is where things started to change for me. I enjoyed the job and it paid well enough that I could pay my bills and invest in some camera gear, allowing me to take up photography as a hobby. A few years passed and I'd begun to work my way up the ladder at this company. I ended up as part of an internal change team delivering IT and business improvement projects. The company I was working for paid for me to go on some courses. I ended up becoming a Prince 2 project manager as well as a Six Sigma practitioner. Although I have little to no use for these qualifications now, much like the lessons my parents wanted me to learn at that butcher's, these courses taught me skills that I still use every day. Discipline, control, structure, and rigour. They sound like odd skills for a photographer, and I agree, they are. but I think they're absolutely essential as a business owner. When that company went through a merger, I was assigned to work with an external consultancy, delivering a number of projects that would bring the two companies together and make the new merged business run a little bit smoother. This usually involved lots of travelling up and down the UK, working with people from all walks of life, everybody from CEOs to frontline staff, and usually working stupidly long hours. Again, you'd be forgiven for wondering what relevance this has to being a freelance photographer, but these experiences instilled a work ethic in me that's never gone. I've seen other photographers turn down work because it means getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving a couple of hundred miles. But you see, to me, that's normal. I've been doing that almost all of my working life. I've also seen people clam up around potentially big clients because they just don't know how to communicate on their level. Again, I've been doing that all of my working life. At the end of the merger, I was headhunted by the consultancy that I'd been working with, and they asked me to join their team based in London. I'd be delivering projects for clients all across Europe. The boy with almost no qualifications that had come home smelling of turkeys, bike rubber, and a little bit of disappointment was now working for one of the largest IT consultancies in the world. I was feeling pretty pleased with myself, but something about photography still had me wishing that I was doing that for a living. Don't get me wrong, I was super grateful for the opportunity. It just still felt like a stepping stone rather than the end goal. Once again, let's fast forward a few years, and I was now running a team of consultants. I'd taken the opportunities that this job had offered and grabbed them with both hands. I was living in London and loving it. I got to travel all over the world on the company's money, working with clients that are market leaders in their field and meeting some pretty amazing people. But in my free time, I'd been building a photography portfolio. I'd convinced my friends and family to model for me in studios that I was renting by the hour. I'd taken jobs photographing nightlife events and gigs. I'd even shot a few weddings on the odd weekend that I was free. Any chance that I had to take pictures, I was on it. If a friend of a friend got pregnant, I'd shoot the maternity images, the newborn images, and then the baby's first birthday. If somebody in the office mentioned proposing, I'd shoot the proposal, the engagement party, a pre-wedding photo shoot, and then sometimes the wedding itself. I became known amongst my friends as the photographer. Anytime somebody mentioned needing a photographer, "Ah, you should ask Gaz to do that," was the standard answer, and honestly, I loved it. Sometimes I was charging for my time, but most of the time, I was just doing it to build a body of work that I was super proud of. I knew that I wanted to make photography my living, but I needed to slowly build a business while I was still able to pay the rent. When my team relocated to Paris, I was offered relocation, once again at the company's expense, but I decided that now was the time to make photography as a living a reality once more. I had a portfolio that was a really great example of what I was capable of as a photographer. I'd got a solid network of people, and I was about to have an influx of cash from redundancy that meant I could pay my bills for a good few months if the business didn't take off right away. I took redundancy, and I invested my payout into setting myself up as a freelance photographer. I upgraded my camera, got a couple of good lenses, some lighting, and rented a small space that I set up as a studio. The first few months were rocky to say the least. Most of my time was spent hunting down work rather than actually taking photos, and when the work did come, it was one-off jobs rather than the big clients with repeat business that I hoped I'd be working for. But this was my dream. It was what I'd wanted as far back as leaving my very first photography job at just 17 years old. I wasn't about to give up on that dream. It wasn't always easy. In fact, at times I was close to throwing in the towel and calling my old company and asking them for my job back. On more than one occasion, I got down to my last £10 in the bank with no idea when my next payday would come. But a solid work ethic and an overwhelming desire never to go back to dipping turkeys forced me to make a success of it. Okay, maybe that's a little bit dramatic, but I was so laser focused on being a photographer that I wasn't willing to fail at it. I wanted a job that allowed me to be creative. I wanted to look forward to going into work every day, the way that I used to. But most of all, I wanted a job where I got to bring joy to people the way that I did the first time I presented that bride and groom with their photos. Right now, it's almost 1 a.m. on a cold, rainy January morning, And as I record this podcast, I've spent more time as a freelance photographer than I did doing all of my past jobs put together. Don't get me wrong, it's far from easy at times, but it is the most rewarding job that I've ever had. Business is good. In fact, business is great right now, and it has been for some time. And my future plans have me so excited for the next chapter in my career. Starting this podcast is the beginning of what I'm calling Chapter 2. I've had far more than two iterations to my photography career, but these feel like the biggest changes that I'm about to go through. Besides, who's keeping score? I mentioned at the start of this podcast that one of my goals for 2019 was to build a community of creative people. Job done, right? No, not by a long shot. More people in Birmingham are working together than they ever have been before. But that's just Birmingham. In 2020, I want to take that community and I want to grow it across the UK. I know that that sounds like some kind of world domination plan from Pinky and the Brain, but I just want more people creating incredible work together. And that brings me on to my next goal. In 2019, the community found its feet. In 2020, I want people to up the game. It's time to really start creating stunning images. I want people to produce the best work they ever have. And that's going to involve learning some new skills, learning more about photography in general, and for some people, it's going to involve turning their hobby into something that pays the rent. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be pleased to know that we've reached the end of this episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me. This episode's going to clock in at around 15 minutes, I imagine, and I really appreciate you dedicating that time to me. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd really love it if you'd subscribe. I've got three episodes coming out this week, and then I'm going to release a new one every single Monday at 7 a.m. If you can, I would love it if you could leave a review for this podcast, maybe even drop a rating for it. You can listen to me on all the major podcasting platforms, but if you're interested in getting involved in the podcast, you can listen to me at anchor.fm/GWViz. That way you can click the message button at the top of my page and leave me a voice message that I can include in future episodes. If you're interested in becoming part of the creative community that we're building together, head over to my website, garethwelch.co.uk, and sign up for my newsletter. That way you'll be the first to know about any of my upcoming events. I promise you, I'm never going to sell your email address, I'm never going to give it to anybody else, and I'm certainly never going to spam you. I'm also super active on social media. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search GWVIS. For now, I'm going to say goodbye and a belated Happy New Year. But like I said, I've got some new episodes coming out this week, three in fact, and then one every Monday. Until next time, folks, remember, the fastest way to improve as a photographer is to get out there and take photos. But while I've got your attention, let me see if I can help.